The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you're listening to this, it is more than likely Friday, December 11th.
What?
And we are recapping the Patriots-Rams Thursday night football game. If you were hoping that Bill Belichick would put together some magic and find his way back into the playoff hunt, you were sorely disappointed because the Rams won 24-3. By the way, I know that Larry Hartstein on the new podcast powered by Sportsline, The Early Edge, he said, you need to bet the under. And of course, we told you this on the Pick Six podcast preview for the Thursday night game to take the under as well. Get your gambling information wherever you need to get it. But the fact of the matter is, it hit. You want to leg up on your bookmaker? We have you covered. The Early Edge podcast, powered by Sportsline. Every day, you can join Jonathan Coachman and an expert crew of Sportsline handicappers to break down the biggest games of the day. Every episode is 10 minutes or shorter, just like this podcast, and is in your feed by 11. I can't even say it with a straight face. In your feed by 11 a.m. Eastern. If there's a sharp side to your action, you'll be armed with it. Go check out the Early Edge podcast anywhere podcasts are found. I'm not even sure if I was supposed to read that promo before this, but I will now welcome on Ryan Wilson, who was not with us for the Tuesday night recap, and Tyler Sullivan. Saleh, what's going on, buddy?
You know, this is the second time I've been on for a Patriots recap of sorts, and they've lost both times. So I'm really just not doing well. Or if we know this ahead of time, maybe we should play some bets going into it.
Yeah, we should have bet on the Rams. Betting on the Pats to take care of business was a bad idea. This was a beatdown. This is a beatdown. Yeah. That's all it was. Cam Akers, the rookie running back for the Rams, ran 29 times for 171 yards on a Bill Belichick defense. Jared Goff only had to attempt 25 passes, 137 yards. He was fine. They did enough with him. The Rams kicked the Patriots' ass on the offensive and defensive line. And that is the story. Do you agree?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, you know, I think a lot of, you know, cause I know a bunch of people picked the Patriots to kind of come up with the upset and all that. You know, you're raising your hand there. Well, I didn't. I knew that the Rams were going to come into this. And I think there was a lot to be said about, you know, oh, wow, the Patriots are back. They're doing it in all three phases. They just put up 45 points against the Chargers. And it just felt like we were leaning too much on the Patriots are turning the corner and not so much that the Chargers absolutely stink. They're just not a good football team. So I think that, you know, we're kind of finding its level here, that it was just you hit them right. You got a couple of special teams touchdowns in the Chargers. They're just not a very good football team. Kind of a fool's gold 45-0 win. And you saw it here on Thursday night against the Rams. The Patriots just not a good effort at all. Kind of shockingly undisciplined too. I mean, we'll get more into it as we kind of dive more into the game, but like shockingly undisciplined. We'll talk about Cam, but there was just a couple of things here too where it wasn't a great executed game overall from the Patriots. So yeah, no. And now you're looking playoffs outside looking in. Not that you were really, you know, on the inside track of it anyways, but
well,
you know.
It's funny you should say that. I forgot to let Ryan, you know, say hello to Ryan. I always
hi, Ryan. How you doing?
Sorry. Make a pod- we've been talking for 20 minutes before the podcast, screaming about different things. And I always feel bad if you make somebody wait to say hello. So, Ryan, I will introduce you formally by saying that I think that the Patriots playoff push may be over.
Who's that dunk for, you or me?
Me. Oh, I said the Patriots are going to make a playoff push. It was a laugh, right?
You've been pushing so many teams, I can't keep up with them. I know you're back
that's,
on the...
That's the move.
Right.
You exactly. Just put everybody in.
No, I learned it from historical figures
just
of note in this country.
Right.
And if you can, if you can create enough chaos and you can push enough items, no one actually knows what the hell you're talking about and they won't pay attention to you. Anyway, Ryan.
So two things. The last time Sully was on, the Patriots actually beat the Jets, but it felt like such a loss that Sully.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I just remembered it being so dejected going into it. So I'm like, I definitely lost. You're right. It was the Jets.
It felt like a loss, but, part two of what I was talking about while Sully, what I wanted to say while Sully was talking was that the actual loss last, what does it say about the Chargers who got a 45 burger hung on them by a team with a quarterback with no arms? Exactly. I mean, that is, if you're Anthony Lynn watching this game tonight, you're going, oh my God, I am not answering my phone. I'm not checking my emails. I'm just going to work. Like I'm George Costanza, it's a Seinfeld reference, Sully. And like, I still have a job. I'm just going in there to keep my head down because this reflects so poorly on me. That I don't even want to think about it. But I think Sully's right that the amount of mistakes you saw from this Patriots team in one night is probably a decade's worth of mistakes that we've seen from this Patriots team before this year. So, you know, anything that could go wrong has gone wrong for New England. Cam Newton is clearly just a shell of himself. Brinson, we were talking before.
Do we want to have this Cam discussion now? I mean, like, I don't think this is fair.
He's hurt.
Cam is hurt. And his receivers are N'Keal Harry, who's not good. Damir Bird, who was a random addition, like a practice. I mean, like he was with Cam in Carolina before. So he played Cam. And Jacoby Myers, an undrafted free agent who I love as an NC State alum. Tom Brady is not having a good season with this Patriots team. This Patriots offense from a skill position. Now, don't get me wrong. Cam's not playing well, but the offensive line isn't playing well either. It's sort of like the Wentz argument, except right. no one wants to talk about it because Belichick's involved.
Well, let's do the thing we always do. What's Cam's record in Kansas City right now?
I mean, I think Andy Reid with Cam Newton wins 10 games.
Okay, I'm just asking. Sully, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're around that. I mean, listen, we were talking about this Patriots team like 9-7. Before tonight, now, I mean, you put him with that offense around those skill position players, you're probably winning double digit games.
Well, but I think it's not going to be the same way. What is Tom Brady's record on this Patriots team?
Well, it's exactly what you saw last year. Yeah, I mean, right. The tail end of last year was basically this Patriots team. It's constructed. If not, it was a little bit worse last year because of, you know, Damian Harris didn't really emerge. Jacoby Myers wasn't what he was.
Yeah.
But, you know, to even prove that point a little bit more.
The offensive line was better, I think.
Right. The offensive line. A little bit better, but you know, even if you look at these guys, I think every single one of these receivers is a tick above where, you know, they're being asked to do a tick above of where they should probably be placed. Like Jacoby Myers, probably a number three wide receiver, asked to be a number two, arguably a number one, you know, so you go down the list there. And the thing that struck me was the lack of awareness for a guy like Jacoby Myers, who was supposedly your top option. And this is something that you should be coaching. So it's on top of Jacoby Myers' lack of awareness, but also the lack of coaching there, you know, on that only drive where they got points on the field goal, it was a 3rd and 8. And Jacoby Myers runs a 3-yard, you know, slant on the it doesn't even go anywhere near the sticks. And you look around, there was nobody around the first down marker. It's like, okay, clearly there's a lack of awareness of where everything is. So to me, you know, it's Cam Newton clearly, but the talent around him, it just doesn't really have it either.
I mean, I don't think it's fair to, I mean, look, I get that Cam Newton is going to be judged and I understand it and he hasn't been good. I'm not trying to prop Cam up for this season. The Patriots suck on offense, but Josh, like to me, it is not dissimilar to what's going on in Philadelphia.
But wait a second.
Josh McDaniels has been awful this year.
But I would imagine Debo would attest to as much. There's been, you're defending Cam. No one's defending Carson Wentz outside of Debo. Everyone is ducking all over Carson. That's Debo, true. Debo and Dan Orlovsky. Outside of that, everyone is ducking Carson.
I think
on
even Orlovsky at this point is giving up the ghost.
Debo's the only one left on the bus.
He was like, he's going to turn it around. It's like, it's just lying dead on the field in the middle. Anyway.
Will, do you think it's, cause you're saying, you know, that it's just not good around him and Josh McDaniels has been terrible, but how much of it is Josh McDaniels calling kind of knowing what he has in Cam and limiting him?
Well, I think all of the things surrounding this offense create problems for Josh McDaniels because he can't call the plays he wants to play. I mean, even Julian Edelman being out is, you know, like that's, he was the number one.
This isn't a Josh McDaniels thing. It's a personnel is not very good thing.
And I think there's one more thing to this that is not being adequately discussed. And it's because Cam came into a situation and we did give it the, oh, Belichick got Cam. And I look guilty as charged here, but we're like, oh, Belichick got Cam. Like they look great early on. This team's rolling. Cam came into a new team, his first new team ever in a pandemic shortened off season when he didn't. What are you shaking your head at? That matters. There's zero time.
What happened in Cam's rookie season? They came right off the CBA. He had no time that summer. He came in and balled out in 2011.
Dude, that is not the same thing. When did Cam sign with the Patriots?
I don't know, it was July.
Yeah, it was like July. Like it's like there was we were locked down.
That's a okay. Look,
all I'm saying is that all I'm
it's
saying
December.
Is that
how long does he need?
I think a lot of quarterbacks would need more time than that to adjust to a completely new system.
All right, you should have brought that up in September.
I feel like I've been bringing this up the whole time.
Yeah, well,
that's fine.
Underhand interceptions. Look,
this is a bad Patriots team. And the reason you know it's a bad Patriots team is that for the last 5 or 6 weeks, Bill Belichick, in fact, 8 weeks maybe. Sully, when you've been a Pats fan since you remember the 0-1 Super Bowl, we talked about this, right?
Yep.
You weren't old enough to drink.
I was coherent. I was young, but I was coherent.
Right. But you weren't like drunk coherent. You were,
He was eight.
Sully's entire formation as a sports fan is centered largely around the Bill Belichick Tom Brady era.
That's very true.
When have you ever heard Bill Belichick make excuses for why his team sucks?
Yeah, you don't really see it that much.
Ever.
At all. And to me, you know, going back on the Cam thing quickly, though, I mean, we were talking about, okay, what would, you know, Cam Newton look like in Kansas City? But Kansas City, it's kind of, you know, you look at it from a Patrick Mahomes standpoint saying that he fell in the perfect situation possible. Andy Reid, ton of weapons on offense. Cam Newton's kind of done the polar opposite here, as you were illustrating. Coming in during the pandemic, he got the coronavirus. I mean, he only missed one game.
He's been a lot worse since he got the coronavirus. I'm not trying to pin it on that, but he's been way worse.
But I'm not even saying it from a physical or anything. I know there's reports that like he's dealing with an ab injury. I'm not even talking about that, but you're talking about just a dramatic loss of practice time. I mean, yes, he missed one game, but he missed like 2 weeks of practice, 3 weeks of practice. And when you're learning a system, especially with the Patriots, they're not kind of going to really slow down for anybody. They're kind of cruising along and it's game plan, you know, by week pretty much. And whatever you installed in week three, you can bring it back up in week five. But if you weren't there, you got to learn it all over again. That is something that's tough. Again, I'm not making excuses for Cam Newton. I don't think he's been particularly great this year. I don't know if he'll be back here in 2021. We'll see how that goes. But he hasn't really been given the easiest of roads at all.
But and that's sort of my thing with Josh McDaniels too. And I guess I didn't do a good job of explaining it. But like, and Josh McDaniels has been to Denver and was a head coach. And he was the Rams offensive coordinator with Sam Bradford maybe his rookie year. So this is not saying that he's never had to deal with this. But he's never been on a Bill Belichick coach team where he had a quarterback that wasn't Tom Brady. I mean, like no one in New England has dealt with this and no one has dealt with this offseason. So I just think that we're unnecessary. And Cam is hurt. His abdomen is screwed up. You heard Jay Glazer's report before the game that he's like, this is not Belichick playing games. Cam is busted up. Cam under pass yards.
Finisher sentence. We're unnecessarily what?
Unnecessarily just beating on Cam. It's like Cam's washed. Like it doesn't like he doesn't have a whole lot around him. And it's not a good situation. And the Patriots aren't making the playoffs.
He is not.
But I'll ask you this, Will. How many teams outside of New England would Cam Newton be starting for right now?
Thank you.
That's a good question. The Eagles.
Oh, too far. Yeah, I mean, I get you're a Cam guy, but Cam's been truly terrible.
Brinson thinks the Eagles would win 13 games with Cam Newton.
I almost said the F word there. Just get that out of here.
I would start Cam Newton over Russell Wilson.
Okay, so would he start for the Dolphins?
Nope, I wouldn't start him over Ryan Fitzpatrick. I wouldn't start him over Sam Darnold.
Okay, they're 0-12, but sure.
What would they be? They would be.
He would start over Brandon Allen, but he wouldn't start over Joe Burrow.
Just
throwing that out there. Would he start over Mike Glennon? Oh God,
no, absolutely. Mike Glennon can push the ball down the field.
But that's the point. If we're talking about Mike Glennon,
Are you sure? So we're saying that the Jaguars. Here,
I have one. I like Mike Glennon better than this name. Mitch Trubisky and or Nick Foles. Who you start?
Get out of here. Cam is starting on the Bears.
Okay.
Cam is definitely starting on the Bears.
All right, there you go. Yeah. We got
if you go the Bears, you can go back 5 weeks and you can have Cam Newton. They're like, give us Cam Newton, save all our right. jobs.
Well, there you go. I don't know if he's going to save their jobs. At least
Drew Locke?
No.
No.
Because Drew Locke, if you want to push the ball down the field, Cam Newton is not your guy.
All right, if you gave Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant, oh, I guess Courtland Sutton's hurt. KJ Hamler, all those guys are immediately top weapons on the
right. And if you put the, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, maybe, but still you're talking about, this is a great example with this game. I think the second they went up, I don't know, maybe even 10-0. I was going to say 17-0 after he took pick six. It was over. There was no thought in my mind that Cam Newton was going to be able to throw them back in this game. And the way that Cam Newton is currently running this Patriots offense, they got to pretty much walk down the field, literally.
There was one score in the second half.
Right. So
I mean, the Patriots scored 3 points. They suck. They're not good.
You make up your mind. You just got finished saying we can't be dunking all over Cam, and now you're saying that the Patriots suck.
But I mean, I'm saying that it's not Cam. The Patriots aren't cratering into oblivion because of Cam Newton. They're cratering into oblivion because of
– No one's saying that.
That's – what you're saying, I feel like.
No, I think what Sully's saying, and I agree with, is that there are deficits on every single part of this team. Offense, defense, special teams might be fine.
This team isn't a 9-win team with Tom Brady.
Probably not.
No.
Okay, no. I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, 8-8 seems reasonable, but he's struggling. Huh?
Brady was awful on this team last year.
They're 6-7 right now. So 8-8 with Tom Brady's unrealistic?
Fine, whatever, 8-8. That's fine. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the team that actually won the game 24-3, the Los Angeles Rams.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, so the Rams, that's a beatdown. It's one of those where my dad texts me like, man, this Rams defense, they might be pretty good. I'm like, yeah, dad, they're top 3 in the league. They are top 3 in the league. I think I might have them number 1. Saints. Saints and Rams, and I have a shocker for number 3.
Got
the Jets.
The Bills.
The Bills are playing better. That's right.
They're coming on. But I think the Saints are the best defense in football, and I think the Rams are a not very distant second. And I am extremely intrigued at the idea of the Rams being a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah. I really like them. I really like them. I mean, I write a lot about, you know, Super Bowl odds every week. I do that story and I've been,
oh my God, how awful is that story, Sully?
It's
the worst.
It's terrible.
I did it for 3 years and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And it doesn't change.
Nothing really changes, you know, but I will say this though, you know, the Rams, I don't know, a few weeks ago, you know, I don't know, a month or so ago, they were like plus 2200 to win the Super Bowl. And now they're starting to creep up. I believe that they were like plus 1200 right now at William Hill, but like, I really like that. I think you have the Saints and the Packers above them in the NFC and it's the Chiefs.
And the Saints and Packers are like 3-1 and 5-1. Yeah.
I really would feel very confident if they are going into, you know, I wouldn't say really confident, but you tell me you're going in a game with Aaron Rodgers and for some reason they just don't have it that day. Aaron Rodgers is kind of, you know, pissed off and he just gets into that mode and starts giving up and slinging it everywhere. Like, that's a game that they can win if Aaron Donald really disrupts it. So to me, I really like where they're going.
Also, I said this before the Cardinals, before they played the Cardinals. And this is why I love the Rams to beat the Cardinals. This is my biggest bet of the NFL season, is that Jalen Ramsey's playing at an NFL defensive player of the year level. And you can set him loose on any number one wide receiver in the league and feel confident that he's going to lock him down like 75% of the time at worst. So if you're the Packers, I'd be petrified about the Rams because you stink against a run and the Rams run the ball well. You're not great with guys floating around in coverage and the Rams are really good at making those passes. And more importantly, you lean on Davante Adams. He is the alpha for your offense in terms of being a playmaker. And if Jalen Ramsey locks down to Davante Adams, the Rams could blow out the Packers in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're not blowing them out. The game's going to be in Green Bay, number one. So that's a huge. They're in LA, man. They're not used to playing in.
Ooh, Jared Goff does suck in cold weather. That is true. No.
And the thing is, I mean, this team is so hot and cold. I do love their defense a lot. And I do love when the running game gets going and that makes Jared Goff good. But Jared Goff, I was surprised to see this graphic on Thursday night. He is tied for the league in turnovers since 2019. Mm. He's tied with Daniel Jones, way past Carson Wentz. That's the concern.
That's bad.
Last two seasons, 2019, 2020. Last two seasons. He said 39.
Yeah, a little cherry picking there, I feel like. Wait, how do they have more than James Winston? I guess James
didn't play. He hasn't played this year. He's on the list.
Well, that's cherry picking.
What are you talking about? What season? It would be cherry picking when I said 2016 and 2019 is when Jared Goff.
If you go from 2018, I don't think Jared Goff shows up. He had a bad 2019.
All right, dude. I mean, the two most recent seasons, he's tied for the league in turnovers. I don't know why that's cherry picking.
But what you're saying,
he's awful last year. I don't think he's that bad this year.
But it doesn't really matter. Whatever the case may be with the turnovers, it's what your concern is that the most important position on the Rams is probably their weakest area, which is going to hurt you when you try to win a Super Bowl.
If that was, that was a better way of a more eloquent way of stating what Ryan was trying to say. And you're both correct if that's the case. In fact, when we were talking about this on the pregame or on the preview podcast, it's like I kind of want to bet the Patriots, but I don't want to do it because I need to see what Jared Goff shows up. Because if good Goff shows up, I want the Rams, and if bad Goff shows up, I want the Patriots. And so to your point, you know what, Ryan? Oh, ho, ho! You're right. You were right all along. I was wrong. The Patriot, the Rams, if bad Jared Goff shows up in the playoffs, adios, amigo.
And that interception was a terrible interception. You can't throw behind the receiver. That should almost was a pick six. You can't throw behind the receiver on a little out there if you're Jared freaking Goff. I mean, those are the things that probably encourage. And you could tell Sean McVay, who was incredibly conservative, even though he's, you know, a super genius like Kyle Shanahan. He did not want to go for it on those 4th-and-1s. I think he was concerned about a lot of things, and it starts with Jared Goff.
He was petrified of those 4th-and-1s. It was hilarious.
And as much as we're talking about, you know, how promising the Rams are, there were times, at least early in that game, or at least coming out of halftime, where I'm like, this game, like, could be close. Like, if the Patriots just weren't inept offensively, you're talking about a 10-10 game going into the half or at least something along those lines.
Sully, it reminds me of – ironically, the game between the Rams and the Buccaneers on Monday night, where Sean McVay kind of tried to step on the Bucs' throats, and Goff ended up throwing a terrible interception and brought Tampa Bay right back in there. And I think erroneously, McVay was worried about doing that against Cam and the Pats when this was the spot to go for it. But I think he saw the environment. He's like, look, we're just going to run Akers 30 times.
And I mean, he ran 40 yards on the first drive or whatever it was. I mean, you had it all day for some reason, because the Patriots recently have been okay against the run.
Yeah.
You know, Lawrence Guy, Byron Coward, like they have guys that can kind of stuff the run, but man, it was, I don't know if they were overcommitting to Cup and to Woods and all those guys, but it was just an ass kicking.
It was bad. It was a butt kicking.
Not as bad as the 45-0 butt kicking the Chargers took, but
that's a very NFL thing. You know, you go from the Pats 45-0.
I feel like it's a very Chargers thing, and that's the problem.
Well, yeah, that's true. And you know, I think there's the interesting narrative here too. We'll get out of here in a second, but the fact that, you know, Aaron Andrews, I don't know if you guys saw that pregame interview.
Mm-mm.
So she interviews McVay, and she's inside SoFi Stadium. And he's on a Zoom call on the banner.
On the Jumbotron?
On the cool.
No, like wrapping around the whole stadium on like 17 TVs. It's very bizarre. And she's like, I'm in your house, Sean. What's going on? And then she's talking to Michael Strahan about a tequila bar. It was a very Fox interview, and that's fine. But she, you know, when you do these interviews, they're not spontaneous. It's not like Sean McVay shows up and Aaron Andrews asks him 5 questions. He had no idea it's coming. This is pre-planned. They have pre-pro meetings, all of that. So any questions that Sean McVay was asked in this interview were clearly or obviously cleared by the Rams. And she said, Sean, I want to ask about that conversation with Bill Belichick at the Super Bowl. And there was like a 2 to 3 minute thing on that. And McVay made it very clear. He's like, you know, I'm not like in awe of Belichick. And I think you could kind of see that in the second half. Like he felt like he was getting not the monkey off his back, but sort of like, all right, look, y'all need to understand, like Bill Belichick ain't got a sort of like mind control on me. Did anybody else feel that in the telecast? And maybe even the way McVay handled things, he was up 14 and he goes for it on 4th and 1 down to the goal line. Like I get why you go, but I feel like he could have kicked there.
I just felt like he was kicking himself the 45 minutes after that it was clear that game was well in hand, that he wasn't more aggressive in the Super Bowl. Cause I felt like he was starry eyed and he did not change. And tonight he ran a lot of 12 personnel cause he's 11 personnel guy, a lot of 2 tight ends on the field. And as Sully just noted, they steamrolled the Patriots from Jump Street in the run game. And part of me wonders as a competitor, he's like, God, what was I doing 2 years ago? Just blew an opportunity.
Yeah. That's kind of exactly what I was going to say. It's all designed. That's all going to, he knows the question's coming. If not, he probably even said, he's, hey, you can ask me about this. You know,
no, if he's like, if they're like, hey, Sean, we want to do this. He's like, no.
Exactly.
Like, I think he wanted to get it out there.
I mean. I think he might have even prompted it to say, hey, listen, ask me about it. I want to get this over with. Cause you know, that was not the best look for him after that Super Bowl. I think a little bit was overmade. I mean, listen, you could give a nod to a guy that's been in the league for a long time. Clearly you can do that. But when you lose a Super Bowl like that and all of a sudden you're kissing his butt, I mean, it's not a great look. So maybe it was a prompted thing and say, hey, listen, ask me about it. And if it's in his mind during a pre-production meeting, it's certainly going to be in his mind in the second half of a game where he's like, hey, listen, yeah. I'll undress you if I really need to. And I'll run it if I please.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like the comp here, but it's like, you know, like Sully, like you go to, like Tom Curran's been doing this. I'm not saying Tom Curran's Bill Belichick or anything, but like Tom Curran's been doing this game for, you know, 20, 30 years or whatever it is. And like you're set up for a debate with Tom Curran. You go in there, you're like, Tommy, I love you. You're great. Like you've been doing it forever. Watch you as a kid. He's like, I'm going to forget it. Oh my God. I just said never.
I like Tom Curran. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go that hard.
Never done that.
Poor Debo.
Sorry, Debo.
Right at the end too.
I know, at the end.
Debo's
I was just thinking, I was, in fact, I was quoting Tom. I love Tom.
You went full like 8 mile on him, right?
I really did. I'm going to take this guy out. I'm just thinking I can't help but think that's what Belichick in his mind at the Super Bowl was like, are you like, we're winning. I think he's like, we're winning this Super Bowl. And I think coming back to this, so much was made of it going into this Thursday night, week 14 game, and the Rams are in great shape and the Patriots are desperate. And like, this is a perfect spot if you're Sean McVay. If anything, as you point out, he may have, like, it's almost better to prop it up, like make it a big thing. Cause if you win the game against this lame duck Pats team, all of a sudden you've squashed that entire narrative for the rest of time.
And not only do you do that, but you do it as, you know, the big takeaway being, are the Rams a legitimate Super Bowl contender? So you're kind of doing both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I was going to ask Sully. So Sully, who's the Patriots quarterback for the rest of the season?
I think probably now you just see what you have in Stidham, right? I mean, you know, I think Belichick has always said, you know, throughout this season, Cam Newton gives us the best chance to win, you know, so we're going to ride with Cam Newton. That perfect logic. Totally fine. Totally get it.
Now Belichick did just say Cam's our quarterback.
Okay, so maybe this is all a moot point, but
I agree with you for the record, but that's what he said.
But and that's fine. So sure, it might be Cam the rest of the way, and that's totally fine. But I think at some point the Patriots will have to go into an evaluation mode, whether it's when you're mathematically eliminated or whatever it's going to be. And you're going to go into an offseason where you have a ton of cap space, quarterbacks will be available, you're going to have probably the highest draft pick that you've had in a long time, and you drafted a guy in the fourth round a couple of years ago in Jared Stidham. You might as well see what he can do, because he's never had an actual NFL start. I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. Just asking the question, are we ever going to see Jared Stidham actually get a shot? Because the only times we've seen him is he's coming in for Cam Newton, and, you know, when they're getting either, you know, blowing out somebody or they're getting blown out, and or he's coming in against the Jets when Tom Brady's kind of done doing his thing, has no real, you know, time to prepare with the ones or anything like that. So to me, I would be curious to see what Jared Stidham would look like.
You got to finish that story though, Sully. He comes in against the Jets, and what happens?
Oh, he throws the pick six. And then
Tom has to put his clothes back on and go back out there.
But that's the thing, you know, and he's done that well. I mean, really, he was not great in any of his spots other than the Chargers game.
He wasn't. I mean, like, he was under siege tonight against the Rams.
Right.
Seven for 27 yards. Like,
and that's the thing. Like, I just don't, you know, I don't know what he looks like. And I thought what was telling to me last week, and I think what was one of the bigger takeaways from that game, I would say, you know, one of the more true testaments was when he came in that game, the Patriots were not handing the ball off to Sony Michel or Damian Harris and just kind of running out the clock. They were running play action. They were throwing. They were seeing what he looked like in live action in a game where, you know, if you're talking about the, you know, unwritten rules of the NFL, right, you're not supposed to do that. Like, so clearly they are interested to see what he looks like. And I would be curious to see what he would look like as with a week with the ones and actually starting the game, because we haven't seen that yet from him. I mean, you spend a fourth round pick, you might as well see. Because if he's great, or at least something that's relatively interesting, maybe you go after Ryan Fitzpatrick in the offseason, and you really give Stidham the shot there and see what it looks like. And instead of using that top first round pick on a quarterback, you're bringing in a defensive guy to lead that defense or another key area where you can go after him.
So the Pats are 6-7 now. Indianapolis is the seventh seed at 8-4. Vegas and Baltimore at 7-5 ahead of the Pats. I mean, I do think that Cam probably gives the Patriots a better chance to win football games than Jared Stidham. And I agree with the idea that Jared Stidham, you should look at him and see what you have so you can make your decisions this offseason. I think Belichick is probably too geared to like winning week to week to go with Stidham.
Well, it's not only that. It, you know, yes, there's the motto of just wanting to win, to keep yourself competitive and keep yourself in the race. But, you know, this is the other thing about Belichick too, is that he's still trying to climb up the all-time wins list. And that is something that I think that he's aware of.
Oh yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's talking about, you know, I think he passed, what was it? Tom Landry for the most games coached last week. And he's talking about that. Like, clearly he's mindful of it. He'll never really admit that he's kind of watching the scoreboard, but he's very aware of it. And if all of a sudden that's probably why part of the reason why they didn't tank, like, he is not, he doesn't want a losing season because it would hurt his reputation for Tom Brady, but also it would drastically put him behind the eight ball of trying to climb that ladder.
Because they lost tonight, so it doesn't matter. He's 49 behind Don Shula.
Yeah.
That's actually a great point, Sully. Little Stevie ain't getting the controls until he gets to 329. Like he's not walking away from this game with less wins than Don Shula. He's just not going to do it. He's got enough left in the tank. He's juiced up. He's got his kids are all grown up. He's got a new lady. He's got that cute dog. Like he's not, Nike's hanging around. He's playing golf in the off season up in, Worcestershire or, what's the island?
It's Nantucket,
Nantucket. That's an awful Boston accent. I'm sorry. I agree. I think that's a great point. He is not walking away from professional football until he has at minimum 330 wins. That matters to him. Think about all the times in the past 3 to 4 years he's done these NFL films, like he's let them mic him up, and he's done these sit-ins with Eisen and Brady and Collinsworth. Like he's obsessed with the history of the game, and he wants to be the greatest coach of all time, and he doesn't want it to be probably the greatest coach of all time. He wants it to be like Brady. He is the greatest coach of all time. He's not doing a great job this year, but he is winning enough games to eat up some clock and maybe get to the next season. All right. Some big takeaways. Rams Super Bowl contender.
Yep.
Pats suck.
Yep.
Sully.
I agree. Wilson. I agree.
And Cam's trash. Is Cam going to get like nuke torched by Felger and Maz tomorrow on 98.5 The Sports Hub?
Probably. I love Felger and Maz. I'm not going to do the Tommy Curran eye to eye with them too. I intern for them.
But, no. I do 98.5 with Tetra and Rich every Tuesday morning.
They're the best. Favorite. But
they're
yes,
the best.
Yes. But yes, they will rip him because that's what they do and it's great.
Felger, I could do without, honestly.
Come on.
Felger is like, it's like, this guy's like in a lab, like crafting Boston hot takes to drop on the radio.
The best.
Tony's an awesome dude. I'm sure Felger's the same way. He's like more low key than he actually is on the radio. Boston 95 is a fantastic radio station. Go listen to it tomorrow. It'll be hot takes if you on Cam Newton. If you didn't get enough on this podcast, at Tyler Sully on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson _07 on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Ryan Wilson CBS on Twitter. New mock drafts coming out all the time. Thank you guys. A great show as always. Oh my God. It's our last. Check out the picks feed, best bets feed, best bets podcast in the feed. That will be our 11th show of the week. I'm not doing anything until Sunday night. If somebody gets fired, y'all can do it yourselves. See you later.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.